Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name's Paul Boag, and on this podcast I generally offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. But today I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about the challenges of taking a vacation when you're a freelancer. I'm shocked at how many of those people I mentor never get regular vacation time. Taking a break from work is essential for your mental health and, to be honest, for your efficiency in running your own business. But many business owners don't manage to make it happen. If you struggle to find the time for vacations or find that when you do take time off, you get drawn back in by emergencies and supporting clients, then I'm hoping this little podcast is for you. Let me be clear. Every business is different. I don't know your circumstances, and to be honest, I don't know your character either. But for those of you who, like me, feel that you need a real break, then I hope that some of the advice I can share will make it happen, will enable you to do it. And some of what I'm going to say hopefully will apply to your situation. It all begins with being realistic about your rates. One of the big problems that seem to prevent many people from taking time off is they can't afford to. The reason for this is that their charge out rate isn't realistic. When calculating your charge out rate, it's crucial that you take into account the amount of vacation you want to take each year. Then, of course, there are weekends, public holidays, etc. And on top of that, you will also have a lot of administrative costs as well, and time being spent doing that kind of thing, all of which is non-chargeable. So let me give you a solid example of how this works out. Let's say you want to earn $80,000 in revenue over a year. That will cover everything from your salary to tax and expenses. You can't just divide that $80,000 by the number of days in a year to get your daily rate. Instead, you need to calculate it based on the number of days you actually work. So let me explain. There are 365 days in a year, sure. But out of that, 104 of those are weekends, right? Then you've got to say take off public holidays. Here in the UK, that's about another 10 days. Then you need to take off your vacation. So say 20 days, 4 weeks. That only leaves you with 231 chargeable days. That would make your rate £346 per day if you wanted to earn £80,000 over a year. But you're not done yet. If you just do that, your vacation time is going to get swallowed by the business. And that's because you haven't taken into account that you cannot charge out 100% of your working week. You'll also have things like finance, sales, marketing, and a whole host of admin to do as well. In fact, when I calculated my own charge out rate, I worked on the assumption that only 50% of my time would be chargeable. And that reduces the number of chargeable days to only 115 in a year. And that increases our example daily rate to £695. Of course, when you do these calculations, you might think that the rate that you come up with is unsustainable because clients aren't willing to swallow it. If that's the case, then you've got bigger issues than I can address in this little podcast. But I am trying to point out that you're never going to get a decent vacation if you aren't charging realistically. But even if you charge enough, the demands of clients can make it hard to get away. Fortunately, there's something you can do about this too. The first step in getting uninterrupted downtime is to take a long, hard look at what you're doing for your clients. For example, if you're offering a certain level of service to your customers, even if only unofficially, it's going to be hard to get away. The most common example of this is hosting. If you arrange hosting for your clients, then if the site goes down, even when you're away, you're going to get a phone call. Even if it doesn't go down, you're still going to feel obligated to keep an eye on email just in case. Personally, I recommend dropping hosting as quickly as possible. It brings nothing but pain and administrative overheads. Also, it's easy to sell the benefits to your client of buying hosting themselves. It'll be cheaper for them for a start, and they'll get guaranteed 24/7 support. If that's not possible, help clients deal with your vacation by giving them a direct support number for the hosting company for when you're away. Preparing clients is a fundamental component in getting a restful holiday. Give customers a lot of advance notice that you're going away and keep telling them you're going away right up to the moment you actually do. Make it clear that you're going to be totally out of contact and that you're going to become increasingly busy in the build up to your trip. That will encourage them to resolve any issues with you earlier. But that's not the only preparation you should do before you go away. In fact, there are four things I always do before I go on vacation that make the whole experience a lot more pleasurable. Number one, I make the last day of work free from meetings. Everybody tries to grab your time just before you go away and it turns into a nightmare. So instead, I tell everyone that I'm already booked up for my last day. That means I can spend the last day tying up loose ends, and so things aren't going to be quite stressful as I return to work, but also I'm going to go away on holiday more relaxed because it hasn't been a sprint to the finish line. Number two, the problem with email is that the more you send, the more you get. So if you send out last minute emails, you're inevitably going to get replies, which leads you to end up doing more work. So instead, I schedule those last emails, so the emails that I send on the last day, to be sent when I've logged off and gone on my holiday. That way, I'm not tempted to reply and get drawn in. Anyone who does email me back while I'm away is going to get my out of office, and that means they won't be expecting a reply until my return. Number three, the third thing I do. I'm sure you've experienced the horror of getting back from holiday and being faced with this mountain of email. You can reduce that with a well-written out-of-office notification. In my out-of-office message, I make it clear that I will reply to any client or prospective client as soon as I return. However, I ask everybody else to email me again once I return. That way I can ignore all non-client emails unless they have taken the time to follow up when I get back. Interestingly, few of those non-client people do bother emailing me back, and that just shows how many of the emails we receive are pointless. They're not important enough for the sender to even bother resending them. Finally, don't forget to change your voicemail greeting too. I tell clients that I'm away and ask them to email me rather than leave a message. That way I can deal with all my messages in one place on my return. Finally, before I finish work, I do one last thing. I clean up my email inbox. For me, that isn't that hard. I tend to follow inbox zero anyway. But if you don't, that's not a problem. Just create a folder called something like pre-holiday inbox and put all of your email into that, all of the stuff that was in your inbox. The reason I do this is to ensure I'm not overwhelmed when I return to work. But you will also make dealing with emails while you're away much easier because, yes, I do check my emails when I'm on holiday. You might expect me to say that you should entirely ignore work when you're on vacation so that you can unwind completely. But if you're anything like me, that's not going to work. You're going to worry about what's going on in your absence, and that's going to prevent you from relaxing. Also, as the vacation draws to an end, you start to dread that mountain of email that's going to be waiting for you when you get back. So instead of just ignoring work entirely, I lay some ground rules for myself that ensure that I get the most out of the vacation time I have, but also avoid worry. So, ground rule number one is I only take a smartphone. A smartphone's good enough for remaining in touch and knowing what's going on, but it's not good enough to do any kind of substantial work on. If I take my laptop or even an iPad, I find myself getting drawn back into work. Having just a smartphone is going to limit it. Second, I do check email, but only once a day. At the end of each day on my vacation, I sit down with my phone and process the emails that have appeared in my inbox since I've been away, and I process them all until my inbox is empty again. I start by archiving any emails that's not related to a client or a prospective customer. Those people will email me again on my return if it's important, and I don't want the email just sitting there nagging at me. Second, I quickly scan any of the remaining emails. If it doesn't need a reply, then I just go ahead and archive it. Anything that remains will need dealing with on my return to the office. But instead of leaving it in my inbox, I use my email client, which is Polymel, to schedule it, to show it to me, to bring it back into my email box, my inbox on my return. Of course, your email client might not have this ability, so you can just add a folder for later retrieval. Doing this for 5 minutes each day will dramatically reduce the number of emails you have when you return to work. And also, by clearing your inbox each day, you don't have to look at all of those emails and worry about the amount of work that you're going to have when you get home. But most of all, it will give you a sense of control, and that allows you to relax. Sure, you might get a depressing email when you go away and that you didn't really want to read that. But that person will know that you're not going to respond to it immediately, and anyway, you've got a system for dealing with it when you return. That means you can sit back, relax, until it's time to get back to work. My first day back at work after vacation used to be, for years, an absolute nightmare. And I'm sure you've experienced it too. I had a mountain of email to wade through, and people inevitably booked me up for meetings from the moment I stepped into the office. Any good feelings from the vacation instantly evaporated. But things are different now. In part, this is because I reduced the mountain of email through my out-of-office notifications and through filtering them and processing them when I'm away. But another fact is that I refuse to book any meetings or do any meaningful work, really, on my first day back. Instead, I reserve the first day for replying to email and marshalling my thoughts. To be honest, I used to do this the night before my vacation was over, and I would go and update my task list and prepare myself for work. How ridiculous is that? I'm still on vacation, even though it's the last day. Now I do it on my first day back to work, and it makes it a much more pleasant experience to start work again. So there you go. That's how I deal with going away. I hope you found it useful and that there was one or two tips in there that might give you a much more pleasant vacation this summer.